Turn your Bibles back to Romans chapter 14. Lord willing, we're going to finish out this chapter. Romans chapter 14. I want to make sure that I leave plenty of time at the end for some discussion. I think that this chapter, in fact, I know if you did stick around for lunch, there's certain portions that just, they tend to have questions and really yield themselves to some good discussion. And so if you have anything from this morning or anything from this afternoon, if you might even forget by the time we're done, jot it down real quick, and we'll welcome that discussion with one another based on the text that we've studied. So in Romans chapter 14, once you find your place, if you're willing and able, would you stand with me? Romans chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says this: "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good work or your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word, and I pray, God, that you would help us to understand the truth that is here, that we would be able to apply this into our lives to be more like Christ. I pray you would help us to love you more, and as we love you more, we would love each other more, and that would just be evident in our day-to-day lives. Thank you for the gospel, for the hope that we're able to share in Christ, and I pray this afternoon, once we leave here and we go out as a group and we go into our community, I pray that you would help us to find those who are outside of your kingdom that can hear the gospel and be saved, and I pray that we would see that happen today. Thank you again for your many blessings. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So before we get into the text this afternoon, just kind of thinking about what we talked about this morning here in Romans chapter 14, once again, Paul was addressing issues of conscience, issues of liberty, issues that aren't necessarily right or wrong, but this needs to be said. I said this morning that we've got to be in the Word if we're going to know what is right and what is wrong. And when it comes to issues of liberty, we have got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to be able to discern these things as well. We have to live every day listening and yielding to the Holy Spirit in these issues, because the Holy Spirit will lead you and will guide you in these matters. If we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, then we're probably listening to ourselves or the voices of others. And as believers, we ought to listen to Him to know what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. And so this morning, what we really talked about was how we are accountable to God. And once again, that's where we ended in verse number 12, when Paul said, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every single person in this room and every believer will stand before God and give an answer for how we have lived our lives, for the choices we've made, for the things that we've done, for the things that we haven't done, and for how we have operated within the conscience that God has given us. We're all going to have to give an answer individually. And so, as we go into the latter half of this chapter, it is important for us to realize, and we'll see this in this afternoon's verses, that while we need to, always on the forefront of our mind, know that we're going to have to give an answer to God, we have to remember and recognize that within a church body, we live lives amongst each other. And I have to consider my brother. And you ought to consider your brother or your sister. We ought to esteem each other highly. And we have got to consider how our choices, and we have to consider how our life and our behaviors impact those around us. We ought not to just wake up and live our lives as if I'm the only person my life affects. That's a very self-centered way of living. And if we're honest, it's easy to do that. To wake up and go throughout your whole day and really make decisions for yourself and not give much thought to those around you. But that's not a biblical way to live our lives. And so, in Romans chapter 14, I want to direct your attention again to verse number 13. Paul said, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore." And he made that very clear this morning, that we ought not to try to sit in judgment over our brother when it comes to issues of liberty. He says, "But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." He also says in verse 14, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." It is important that we realize that our, as I said a second ago, our decisions and our walk with Christ is going to impact those around us. And in verse number 1, when he implored them to receive those that were weak in the faith, in this church body in Rome, as I said this morning, there were people at all stages of spiritual maturity. And those that are stronger in the faith have got to consider those who are weaker in the faith and consider how their actions affect them. And so he tells them, first of all, not to give a stumbling block or a cause for offense for their brother. It could be summed up like this. It was said this afternoon at lunchtime, but it's loving each other. If you love your brother, you're not going to want him to sin. Like it should bother you when people sin. And it should especially bother you when a brother or sister in Christ sins. And we don't want to be the reason or the cause for somebody else to sin. You say, well, how does that happen? Isn't everybody going to be accountable to God for themselves? Absolutely. If I sin, at the end of the day, I will answer to God. But if I tempt someone, or if I, through my self-centeredness, don't consider someone else and cause them to violate their conscience, then I'm going to have to answer to God as well for that. And so we, once again, are all going to be accountable to God for our own actions, but also how our actions affect other people. Now, we talked about it this afternoon, and I want to say this as well. This has been said a few times, and I grew up with a misunderstanding of one of the things that's taught here in Romans 14 and other places. But it seemed like a lot of times when I was growing up, it was highlighted that we ought not to offend one another. And that's really not what this chapter's teaching. And that's not what Paul is telling them, that we ought to avoid offending someone. It's we ought not to cause them to offend. And there's a difference here. Because if we live our entire lives with the main pursuit of I'm just not going to do anything that offends somebody, you're not going to be able to do anything. Because no matter what you do, someone's going to be offended. I mean, we're going to, at three here in a little while, we're going to go knock on some doors. There's a decent chance that something we say to someone today is going to offend them. I mean, if I knock on your door and you're a lost person and I tell you, you know, you're going to stand accountable to God and have to give an answer for your life and lying and stealing and blaspheming, these are sins, that could offend them. But that's okay. But even in the body of believers, there are truthful things that we can say or do that might offend somebody. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. So that's really not what Paul's talking about here. Once again, just read how he words it. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We don't want to do something that gives a brother a reason to stumble or trips him up. And so maybe here in a few minutes we can dive into what some of those things might be for us today. But we need to consider one another. Now, Paul, you have to remember when he's writing this letter, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so as he pens these words, you say, you start thinking about when they get this letter, when he says things like this, verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. You understand that that's authoritative enough right there. Paul wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul says very clearly in verse 14, in regards to meat, that he was persuaded and he knew by the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is unclean. That really settles it. So for the Jews, for the weaker brothers in this church setting who still thought that people had to be restrained by dietary laws, that's enough. Paul says the Lord Jesus Christ has taught me that nothing's unclean. That settles it. So you say, all right. So since Paul says it's unclean, I guess you can just do whatever you want, eat whatever you want, and who cares? They can just get over it. Not at all. Because you still have to consider how it's going to affect your brother in regards to being a stumbling block. Verse 15. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. You see, if you live your life with that selfish mindset that's, you know, all things are lawful, I can do whatever I want, and people can just get over it, he says you're not walking charitably. You're not walking with love towards one another. If you don't consider other people, then you do not love each other. And, I mean, it says on the board that we ought to love others. So, we ought to love God, and we ought to love others. Those are the two greatest commandments, right? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we ought not to be give our brothers a cause or a stumbling block in their paths. Also, I want you to look at verse number 17. Well, verse number 16, he says, let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So think about this church that exists here in Rome a couple thousand years ago. You have people in the church who are fully convinced and persuaded in the issue of meat, that all things are lawful and they can eat whatever they want. And you've got other people in the church who are fully convinced and persuaded that there are still restrictions that ought to be followed. Just real quick, side note. You understand that their deep-held convictions doesn't actually change the truth, right? Like, they were fully convinced that they were both right. And when I read Romans 14 and some other places in some of Paul's letters, sometimes, I don't know if this is right, but I get this idea. Have you ever had maybe a couple kids run up to you who have been in an argument, and they're both about to plead their case, and they're about to say, it's his fault. And they're saying, no, it's his fault. And they're both fully expecting you to say, you're right, you're in trouble. But this one thinks you're going to say, you're right, and you're in trouble. And you almost get that sense here that the people who think they can eat anything and the people who think they can't eat all these things, you know, there's this issue going on. And Paul gives the answer here, and sometimes the answer is you're both wrong. You're free to do it, but you have a bad attitude. And you shouldn't be judging them based on something that isn't wrong. You're both wrong. Well, here we have, once again in verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So in this church, you have this setting where these people have these different persuasions, these different conclusions, which actually doesn't change the truth at all. People can be sincerely wrong. Like you can have a deep-held, sincere belief and still be 100% wrong. I mean, I know people who tell me that LeBron James is a better basketball player than Michael Jordan, and they're sincere about it, and they're wrong. And so just because you believe something to be true, you know, we got to be careful when we start saying things like, well, this is what I think or this is what I believe. Well, with all due respect, who cares? That's not Bible. But we need to care what God says more than what I think. Listen, if I get up here and I don't have a Bible and I start telling you, hey guys, I've been thinking about a sermon, here's some thoughts I have for you, you should all leave because it doesn't really matter what I think. Even if I sincerely believe those things, if it's not from God's word, it isn't to be viewed on that level. And so in verse 17, once again, he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, so many times people want to identify Christianity or their walk with God by their behavior rather than who they are. Listen, if you are in the kingdom of God, it's because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you've been adopted into his family. You are a son of God. In John chapter 1, to as many as believed, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even they that believed on his name. You didn't become a son of God because you refrained from meat or because you kept the Sabbath or X, Y, or Z. You became a son of God because of Jesus Christ and belief. That's it. But too often, I think that we inadvertently communicate sometimes to the world that being a Christian is about a list of things you can do and a list of things you can't do. Now, don't get me wrong. Are there things that you should do? I said it this morning. There are things that are morally right that we should do. There are commands that we should follow. And there are restrictions. There are things that we should not do. But not doing them doesn't make you in the family of God. That's not what the faith is. We want to make sure that we are clearly communicating with people that being in the kingdom of God isn't about, as he says, meat and drink. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts and regulations and rules. It's about being with God through Jesus Christ. Notice also in verse 18 and 19, he says, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. You know, if we're loving God and we're loving each other, you know one of the things that we're going to want in our church body is peace. It's peace. And I said it this morning, but so much of our society today thrives on arguments and contention and strife and drama. And that shouldn't mark the lives of believers. That shouldn't be what we're about. But if we're going to look in the mirror and be honest, some churches have that reputation in small towns and communities. And we can either get mad about it sometimes, or we could say, maybe we've earned that reputation. I know some people who I've been a part of a church that had a pretty bad reputation in town. And sometimes some people would get upset when you brought it up. Like, I can't believe they think of us that way. Like, well, I can't believe that we've given them a reason to think of us that way. They might not be wrong. We ought to want a peaceful spirit when we come together. In my actions, in my everyday life, I should be making decisions that yield peace amongst us. Now, are there times that you got to stand for truth and some of that peace might be gone? Yeah. And that's why I said you have to be discerning in the spirit to know the difference. Because I think about the Apostle Paul. You know, he wrote some pretty harsh letters to the churches in Galatia because they were teaching terrible things like you had to be circumcised to be saved. I mean, he pretty much dressed that down and said, that's not true. He said, if anybody preaches that gospel, let him be accursed. He said, get that out of here. And so he didn't cave into that and say, well, I'm just going to go along to get along. I'll just tell him, go ahead and get circumcised. That way nobody's offended. No, he said, if someone's telling you that, let him be accursed. But you know, other times, with Timothy, he had Timothy be circumcised before they went on a mission trip. Say, what's the difference? I just assumed that Paul was in touch with the Holy Spirit and knew what the right thing to do was. So there's times that we don't that we don't seek peace at all costs, but we are still people who want peace. We want to seek things that bring about peace. And not just peace, he also says edification. We ought to look after those things wherewith one may edify another. That's what he says in verse 19. Now go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we looked at verse 31 this morning. But in the greater context of this chapter, he's talking, of course, about meat that has been offered to idols. Look at verse 23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You know what Paul's saying in regards to meat offered to idols? He's saying, I could eat it if I want to. It's lawful. But just because I can do it doesn't mean I should do it. Because by doing it, I may be hurting a brother. And for Paul, exercising his liberty in Christ wasn't worth harming a brother in Christ. And the reason why, he says, I believe in Romans chapter 14, once again, back in our text, in verse number 15, he says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. That's a really important thing to remember as we live our lives amongst one another. We're each somebody that Christ died for. Christ died for me. Christ died for you. So the reason that I love you, the reason that I value you, the reason that I want to edify you and have peace with you and walk with you and help strengthen you is because Christ loved you and valued you enough to die for. So why should I not value you enough to want to help you in your walk with the Lord? Anybody who Christ died for is someone who has immense value. And the great news is that Christ died for everybody. And so everybody that we meet, Christ says they're valuable because he has died for them. So we ought to pursue things that bring about peace and edification, building people up, strengthening them. And finally, as we kind of end this chapter, listen to verse number 20. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned or condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And he really wraps up this portion of Scripture by doubling down on some things that he was teaching earlier in the chapter, in that we ought to each be persuaded in the choices that we make. We ought to be fully assured and convinced that what we are doing is pleasing to the Lord. And so just to kind of clarify or maybe say again, one of the things I said this morning, you know, I'm always worried about something that I say not being communicated very clearly. So I'm going to say it again, just in case it was wrong this morning, it'll be wrong twice. But one of the things I said this morning was there are times where something might be okay for me to do, but it might be a sin for you. Does everyone understand what I mean by that? I'm not saying that it's okay for me to murder someone. It's not okay for you to murder someone. Like, clearly, those things that are prohibited in Scripture are not what we're talking about. But in matters of conscience, there may be something that my conscience allows me to do that the Bible does not forbid. And I can do that in a clear conscience, and I can do it as unto the Lord. But your conscience may not allow you to do that. And in that case, what he says here in the text, in verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. All things are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. So even though it's really not wrong to do, if you are choosing to do something that you think is wrong, it is wrong. Once again, not because the act is inherently sinful, but because you are choosing to do something that might violate God's law. And that's not doing it, as he says in verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The way that we live our lives, we have to be making choices that we are persuaded are true and right. And so with that being said, I want to open this up for a little bit of Q&A time. If you have any questions, if I muddied the waters, or if something you'd like to bring out from the text that maybe I didn't mention, that's the thing when you're studying through the scriptures, especially books like Romans, there's a lot of meat on the bone sometimes, and you might have been sitting there thinking, man, I can't believe he didn't say this. Well, this is your chance to say that. So, I also turned the live stream off, so if you're scared of, like, evidence of what you said, there's no evidence.